Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
For Fred Film Radio, Ilaria Gomarasca here from the 75 Venice Film Festival. We are here today with Bruce Weber, director of the documentary Nice Girls Don't Stay for Breakfast, screening here in Venice Classics. Thank you for being here.
Well, this is kind of a fantasy for me because I really felt that if I wasn't going to be a photographer and a filmmaker, I would like to be a late night disc jockey on the radio. You know, and I even said to our sound mixer, I said, oh, can't you make my voice sound like Clint Eastwood and play Misty for me? So I love doing radio. I listen to the radio all the time in my truck back in America. And hi.
Hi. Thank you, Bruce. So your documentary is about Robert Mitchum, the actor, the sex symbol known for a lot of films, but also the man behind the scenes. So my first question here is how happened that you meet him and that you were fascinated by him?
Well, he was one of my dad's favorite actors, and I also... I had an assignment for Vanity Fair many years ago to do a story on tough guys, and he was one of them. And I went over to his house, and I met him. And it was funny because he kind of almost didn't even let us in the house, you know. But we got in, and he sat down in a lazy boy chair, which is a lot of older men and women like them, you know. And in fact, this friend of ours, Brooke Shields, she now does advertisements for them. And so Bob's sitting in his lazy boy chair and, talking to me and, talking from one story to another and everything. And I said, well, at least this guy has some good stories, you know. And we took some pictures and we really had a good time together. He knew a friend of mine, John Bryson, was a photographer for Life magazine, and they were pretty tight. And John always said to me, he's really right for you, Bruce. He's going to make a good film, this documentary. He said the problem is to get him to want to do it.
Exactly. That was my question, because in the documentary you say that in the first time he was not ready for this. He was not interested in doing a documentary about himself. So how did you manage to convince him, and why you were so keen in doing it, even if he didn't want to?
I didn't give up on him. I just, be like you as a journalist. Think you want to interview somebody and just still at it until you do. And so I knew it was the right film for me to make. My first film, Broken Noses, was about a fighter and about a fighting club, boxing club up in Portland for little kids. And then my second film was Let's Get Lost with Chet Baker, and musician, great trumpet player, singer. And I just really wanted to make a guy who fit into this category, you know. I hope someday that those three films can run together, because I think it'd be an interesting program, you know. But when you're in the middle of it with Bob, you don't even know if you're going to have a film or be able to finish it. And that's sort of his thing, because he was such a natural actor that, you know, he could just turn things around, you know, in the wildest, craziest way, you know. One time we were filming in the recording studio. The camera got so close to him by a young cameraman that he pushed the camera away because he wasn't used to that. He didn't do it aggressively, but the guy's like holding his eye, because that really hurts your eye when you have, it's like getting socked in the eye. And he was very apologetic, you know. So I don't know, you hit and miss. And I always think, like, I look at some documentaries and I go, God, they were so lucky. They had these people who really were patient and listen to them. I mean, I sort of ended up, like, even with Chet, like, they couldn't handle the idea of any of the equipment falling apart. They just couldn't repeat it. They couldn't repeat that story. So you're there just, like, barely breathing to get through that story.
Also, what's really impressive about this documentary is that since the beginning it has been a challenge. So we already said that Robert was not keen in doing it, and then so he died. So also you put the project aside. So can you please tell us more about how challenging it was to make it.
Well, I really think that after the first time, I think he had a really good time, and he loved singing. He liked the fact that there was a lot of really great girls on the set that we were working with, who he just, you know, really became friendly with, and they all had a really nice relationship. And I don't know, he liked Dr. John a lot, you know. I think if I had other actors in there talking about him, I don't think he'd have liked that so much, you know. That would have been too normal for him, maybe too normal for me. And he always liked it that when I said something, I did it, you know. So that's why I think he came back the second time and the third time and the fourth time. I can't imagine that he hardly ever said no to me, now that I think about it. And I think he grew to really care about us like we cared about him.
Another question is about who do you think took over from him in the Hollywood star system? Who has this heritage of this sex symbol, but in the same time fragile nowadays?
It's hard to think of somebody. I mean, years ago when I first started this film, I was photographing Johnny Depp, and I told him I was, you know, going to photograph Bob, and maybe thinking of making a film with him. And he said, "Oh, my dad looks just like him, and so does my uncle, and I love it." And he wrote me a whole story about them, and it's very beautiful. But I really don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I think that actors today, they have to be so safe because of their career. Someone like Bob and a lot of actors during that generation, they didn't really care about having a career. They wanted to be good in films and then go out and go horseback riding, or, you know, go to the beach, or be with their wives or their kids, or go out and drink with their buddies. You know, they didn't think, oh, this is going to be good for me, for my career.
Also, your career, yeah, speaking of which, so the fact that you're a photographer, also a documentary, so how these two jobs are connected to each other? Is the moving imaging starting from a photo? How does this interact?
Well, I travel around a lot. I go to places where a lot of, you know, fashion photographers don't go to. And I really like that, and I meet a lot of characters, you know. And I always want to have that sensibility in all my work, whether it's writing, whether it's filmmaking or taking pictures. I want to have that sense and love of characters. Because today I feel a lot of characters are being told to shut up and close the door.
Thank you very much, Bruce. It was very interesting to meet you. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.